It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. It sounds like former Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers is on President Trump's shortlist to be the next permanent director of the FBI. This, of course, comes after Trump abruptly fired James Comey from that position earlier this week. Jack, why might the president have his eye on Rogers?
Well, on paper, Rebecca, it'd make a lot of sense. Rogers was an FBI agent for a long time, and he is very conservative, but he has a reputation for integrity, certainly, and intelligence. But Rogers, you may remember, was on Trump's first transition team and then mysteriously was quickly off that transition team. And from what we know now about Trump's conversations with Comey, it seems that he fired him because he didn't pledge total loyalty. And Rogers is probably the same kind of guy. So unless he's sort of forced into picking someone with integrity, I would guess Rogers wouldn't be his first choice.
Governor Snyder has named Judge Curtis Wilder to the Michigan Supreme Court. Wilder will replace former Chief Justice Robert Young Jr., who resigned last month. So now there are four justices on the court who were handpicked by Snyder, and there's a chance he'll get to pick a fifth now that President Trump has nominated Joan Larson for a federal court post. Jack, is it unusual that Snyder's been able to pick so many justices?
Well, not all that unusual considering he's been there that long. Most judges these days often get on first through gubernatorial appointment. And on top of that, part of this is bad for a number of reasons. We don't pay our Supreme Court justices enough. They haven't had a raise in a long time, and they can get better opportunities elsewhere. That's why Chief Justice Young left the court earlier this year. And on top of that, we make them retire when they're 70. They can't run for re-election anyway after they're 70, whereas a federal judge, for example, can stay on the bench until their teeth fall out. There's at least two federal judges in Detroit who are well over 90. So we might want to look at our standards for Supreme Court justices. And the other thing that is sort of depressing about this is former Michigan Chief Justice Merrilyn Kelly and a Republican Court of Appeals judge came up with a wonderful nonpartisan plan for filling vacancies on the Supreme Court that everybody, including Sandra Day O'Connor, thought was marvelous, and Snyder's totally ignored that.
Michigan's Constitution already requires the government to get a warrant if it wants to search someone's home, possessions, or person. Now a resolution up for a vote in the state house next week would clarify that law enforcement also needs a warrant to search someone's electronic communications or data. This was introduced by Representative Jim Runstead. He told Michigan Radio he's worried if we don't start drawing some red lines for law enforcement, we'll end up with something like the Stasi in the former East Germany. What do you think about this amendment, Jack?
Well, being my normally puckish self, when I first heard him say that, I thought, well, we won't end up like East Germany because they actually had a pretty effective public transportation system. I spent some time there. But I think Runstead's absolutely right. We are basically have a 1950s technology law covering the current era. Detectives don't look through keyholes anymore. They have all sorts of other ways to get data on us. And my cynical self says, yes, we certainly should pass this. He's right. But the minute it's passed, they'll figure out ways around it. The flip side of this is we have to be careful who gets a warrant and how easy it is to get a warrant. But essentially, I agree with the representative.
Detroit's Q Line officially opened to the public yesterday. The long-awaited streetcar system shuttles people up and down Woodward Avenue and stops near popular attractions like Comerica Park, the Detroit Institute of Arts, and the Fisher Theater. Jack, people have been waiting for years for the Q Line to become a reality. Once all the hype dies down, do you think it'll prove to be a viable transportation option?
Well, Rebecca, you know, my role in life is to be the skunk at the picnic. And this is essentially a beautiful-looking system that'll take people from one place where there aren't any jobs to another place where there aren't any jobs. I think it will be very underused. I think that they're wildly exaggerated, people who use it. I might use it if I haven't been in my office at Wayne State University and went from there to a baseball game. That would make sense. But the line does not run all the way out to the suburbs or even to the city limits. And the big problem is that there are jobs in the suburbs. There are people in the city without adequate private transportation who would like to fill those jobs, and this doesn't get them there. It certainly needs to be extended. It's beautiful. It's nice. I'm certainly not against it, but the idea that this is going to spark an economic renaissance is probably greatly overblown.
All right, Jack. Well, I hope you have a nice weekend, and please continue to spread your cheer and optimism.
I'm going to go out and pick some nettles right after we're done here.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.